Looking at the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Isn't that good? That's good. You pair that up with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace ye saved through faith, and it not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad it's not of works, amen, because my works are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. All of my righteousnesses are filthy rags. We're not justified by our works. I want to look at a few things today. Beginning in verse 19 again, it says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. First thing I want to see is conviction. Conviction. I want to talk about some of the shuns today. Conviction and redemption and justification, propitiation, different things. But conviction. I think a lot of what people are missing is everybody says, well, yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm doing all right. You know, I think I'm better than most people. You know, a lot of folks have never read the Bible, never been in church. They've never heard a sermon preached. They've never had a tract handed to them. That's a sad thing, isn't it? Even the lost outside the church, they haven't even had anybody come up to them and say, hey, you going to heaven or hell? But they haven't heard these things. They don't know these things. And boy, if they could read a verse in the Bible, comparing themselves among themselves are not wise, that's where a lot of the problem comes in. People aren't convicted of being guilty of God's laws and breaking them because they're not comparing themselves to a holy and just God. They're comparing themselves to, the Mad Hatter, or, you know, some Jeffrey Dahmer, or, you know, somebody. They'll pick some of the worst people they can think and say, well, look what he did. At least I'm not like that. Or, you know, I don't do what they do. I'm not a murderer. I've never killed anybody. I've never done this, that, or the other. And I've tried to do right. I try to do good. Well, they don't even know what right is. The Bible, they don't understand the Bible, Jesus Christ himself, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. They don't understand that God is the epitome of and the standard for good and right and holiness. So they don't have any Holy Spirit conviction because they've never had the Word of God convict them. And if you asked the average person off the street whether they believe in God or not, can you name any of the Ten Commandments? I guarantee you they can name thou shalt not kill, because that's the one they think they've never done, even though they probably murdered somebody in their heart. Well, there's thou shalt not kill and thou shalt not steal. You say, well, have you ever stole anything? Well, nothing important. I've had people tell me that. Well, I may have stole a cookie or something when I was a kid, but I'm not a thief. Well, you've stole the glory of God and put it on yourself. You're a thief because you think you're perfect. Amen? And whether you stole a cookie or a Maserati, you're guilty. You're a thief. Amen. Well, you know, there was that time there was a nickel left in the register at Walmart, and I stuck that in my pocket. Well, you're a thief. Amen? Because you were playing somebody else's machine there. You didn't win that. You paid with your card and took somebody else's change. You're a thief. Amen? You've broken God's law. But conviction. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I just thought, man, I want to live the principles of Jesus. So that makes me a Christian. No, what makes you a Christian is when you realize that you're guilty, you deserve to burn in hell, and He paid your debt. His death, burial, resurrection, and blood atonement is all it takes, and you call on Him for forgiveness and trust Him as your Lord and Savior, and then live like a saved person. Amen? That's what makes you a Christian. If you get saved and you live like the devil, you're just saved. Amen. But if you get saved and you live like Christ wants you to live according to His Word, then you become a Christian. When you act and react in a way that's pleasing to Christ, where people will look at you and say, there's somebody that walks with Jesus Christ. People that don't even understand salvation and say, hey, those things that Christ preached on, now I know where we're at in Matthew, I understand the Beatitudes and all that, but blessed are the meek and all. When you match up with those things, not for salvation, but because you know it pleases the Lord, people should say, that person right there has something different about them. And that comes with conviction. Conviction brings salvation. And after salvation, conviction brings a purification that happens here. Not totally pure, but you get closer and closer and closer by responding to the conviction and getting in the Word and say, this is where I'm wrong, and this is what I need to do to get right. Conviction. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. A lot of people claim to be children of God or Christians or whatever, and they've never been redeemed. They've never been bought back. They've never went to God as a guilty sinner and trusted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, to be redeemed. They've never accepted the blood atonement. A lot of people just think they're all right because they're trying to be all right. Do you realize the Muslims think they're all right? Do you realize they have respect for what Jesus did on this earth as walking this earth? They have no respect for Him as God or the death, burial, and resurrection, but they're in the same boat as the crowd that thinks they're going to earn their works by doing the Beatitudes. They think, boy, you got to respect Jesus as a prophet and a good man because He said this and did that, but they're not saved. Redemption. You must be born again. You must be bought back because man is in bondage to his sin. We're dead in our trespasses and sins until salvation, and then you're alive in Christ. Christ, who is our life. Conviction. Redemption. Well, I just think if I do enough, and you know, I've done some bad things, but I try not to do those anymore, and I try to do less of those and more good things. And first of all, they're defining bad and good without a Bible most of the time. But look at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption is in Christ Jesus. Justification. How are we justified? We're justified by the grace of God. What's that mean? That means He gives us something we don't deserve. What's He give us? The righteousness of Jesus Christ. And now we're justified. Man's always trying to justify. That's what most of religion is. Man trying to justify themselves with God. I was going back and forth with the stupid phone, you know, on a Jesus Drank Wine crowd a long time back. Every once in a while I'll get a notification that somebody wants to argue with me. I don't want to argue with them, but somebody commented on your comment that somebody else commented on or something. And you got about a third of them that are saying, right on, brother, Jesus didn't make alcohol or that would have made him a sinner. He didn't give them alcoholic beverage. He gave them new wine. You know, and then you got folks like, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with this, that, or the other. And then I had a guy say, well, you know, my Catholic church, we use fermented wine every week. And I said, and? And he said, exactly. And I said, I don't I give them a list of things that I've noticed about the Catholic Church while they're drinking their fermented wine every week, and why the way most, not all, but most of the congregation lives from week to week between the wine. And most of them aren't drinking wine on Friday night and Saturday night. Amen. Most of them aren't smoking Marlboros on the weekend either. A lot of them, not the most of them. They do whatever the flesh wants, and then they think drinking the fermented wine is going to help clean it up. So we don't get our truth from the Catholic Church. We get our truth from the Bible. Hey, I don't get my truth from the Baptist Church. I get my truth from the Bible. If you got your church from the Baptist, you'd be in a mess, because they just don't line up anymore. I mean, you got the Free Will Baptist, you got the Hard Shell Baptist, you got the Southern Baptist, the American Baptist, the Independent Fundamental Baptist, the Independent Bible Believing Baptist, and yeah, you got so many different Baptists believe so many different things. I mean, good night. A double-minded Baptist is unstable in all his ways, right? I mean, you couldn't just get your doctrine from the Baptist. You got to get it from the Bible. But justification. Justification comes from putting your faith in Jesus Christ and having His righteousness applied to your account. Look at verse 25. When God has set, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Propitiation. Propitiation. That lines right up with the substitutionary atonement. Jesus Christ became sin for us. Jesus Christ died on Calvary and took your debt on Him. Jesus Christ, being sinless, took on and became the sins of the world, went to hell and dropped that sin debt off and came back out because He had no debt of His own to pay, with victory over death, hell, and the grave. The gates of hell prevailed not against our Savior. Propitiation. You know what He died for? He talks about the sins of the past. He's talking about going all the way back to the first Adam, because He's the last Adam. He died for all those sins. Do you realize the people in the Old Testament, what you believe about their salvation is really irrelevant to us as in the church age. But I want to tell you, they didn't get saved and stay saved the same way we do, because they could lose it. No matter what else you believe about salvation, if you want to believe they were looking forward to the cross, I have trouble with that, because the 12 apostles didn't even understand the cross. I have trouble believing that. But if you don't believe that, that's fine. But I'll tell you this, they could lose it. Because in the Old Testament, before Calvary, if they died in their sins, they didn't go to Abraham's bosom. They went to hell. David didn't die in his sin. He sinned, but he didn't die in his sin. He died right with God. When you get saved in the church age, you're right with God because you have Jesus Christ's righteousness. And you're not counting on your own. But He died for those sins too. He went and led captivity captive. He died for their sin debt in the Old Testament too. He preached to them, and I believe they believed the message, and I believe in their heart they trusted Him and followed Him out. And God knew that He was going to do that. They were going to do that because He knows. He's all-knowing. He had foreknowledge, plus their desire was to please God. Look at verse 25 again, or 26. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and justify of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Christ Jesus finished the work for salvation. He fulfilled the law. And His fulfillment of the law and His righteousness have been applied to us, the saved. You know where most of the confusion comes in? Who's responsible for what when it comes to Bible doctrine? Whose job is it? Whose job is it? You remember back in Genesis chapter 3, the devil told Eve, you can be as gods. You know what everybody's been trying to do since then? Be like God. You know what the atheists want to do? They want to be God. You know what they say? They can explain the beginning. They can tell you it went back to a big bang or a cosmic burp or whatever, but no God. And they don't have anybody to answer to but themselves. That makes them God in their mind. Everybody wants that job, but that job's already taken. But the confusion comes in with believers on whose job is what. It's not in your job description to save your soul. It's not in your job description to keep your salvation. That's God's. Everybody wants to do God's job. You know what they do? They, in their pride, like the Pharisees, they don't want to admit that they could be wrong enough to go to hell, and they want to pretend like they could be right enough to get to heaven without Christ, even though they will mention Christ and talk about the death, burial, and resurrection. But yet they don't have any eternal salvation security. They probably don't have it to start with. A lot of them, they don't have any security in their salvation. And they think they have to add to what Jesus Christ did. They don't understand whose job is what. Let's talk about the jobs for a minute. Conviction. That's the Holy Spirit. You know what's convicting? His words. You know, look what we just seen. What the law does. That the whole world may become guilty before God. It convicts. You walk into a courtroom, you run a stop sign, and you say, well, I didn't see it. And it was there, I didn't see it. And you know, they say, well, it was clear as day, you should have seen it, you're guilty. You look at the judge, you say, I'm guilty. You're convicted by the law. The law said I was supposed to stop at that sign, I didn't do it. And whether I saw all the signs, you know, I run the stop sign, and I was running 40 into 25. I didn't see either one of those signs. You're still guilty of both of them. Amen? Well, I didn't know. Well, you had a right, you had an ability to know. You could open the Bible and find out what's right and wrong. Amen? And plus, God wrote the law in people's hearts. People know. They have a conscience. They have a conscience that tells them they're wrong, that tells them there's a God, that tells them they need Him, that tells them something's missing, and they try to fill it with everything but God because they don't want to submit to God. But conviction, that's the job of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak in you, they're spirit and they're life. It's God's words. They're convicting. Redemption, that's the job of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't redeem yourself. Justification, that's God's grace and the blood. It talks about it in verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption and justification. Justification is God's grace. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Much more then, verse 9, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. You're justified by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, which was God's blood, according to Acts 20:28. It's not your job to justify yourself. God does that at salvation. Propitiation, there's the Lord Jesus Christ. He substituted for you because you couldn't pay your own debt. Conviction, the Holy Spirit and God's Word. Redemption, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, the blood of Christ and the grace of God. Propitiation, Lord Jesus Christ. Security, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. That's His job. So you know what you're saying? If you're saved and you think you're losing it or could lose it or have lost it and got it back, you're saying the Holy Spirit didn't do His job. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, if you've lost your, if you actually had salvation and you think you lost it, you're saying the Holy Spirit didn't do His job. Matter of fact, you think you have to do something to get to heaven, you're saying Christ didn't do His job. He did most of it, but I got to help a little. Good night, man. You don't know you as well as you think you know you. Security is the Holy Spirit of promise. Sanctification. Here we have a meeting of the Holy Spirit and a believer. The Holy Spirit sets you apart for a purpose, and you're supposed to live out that sanctification. When the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that means work the Christ that's in you outwardly. It doesn't mean work to be saved. It says work out the fact that you are saved and act like it and live like it. Sanctification, you can share the job with the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to tell yourself no and Him yes. You do have some responsibility in living that out. But He's already taken you and set you apart for a purpose. That part of sanctification is done by the Holy Spirit. You live in it, that's you and Him working together. Amen. Conviction, redemption, justification, propitiation, security, sanctification. Purification. Whose job's that? Well, you have a responsibility in it, but the job is the Word of God. You know what Ephesians chapter 5 says? It talks about the husband and his wife. It talks about the church and the bride and the washing of water by the Word. Purification comes from, ultimately, I understand it's the judgment seat of Christ. But as you walk this earth, it comes from the words of God. See, the more you understand about the Bible, and the more you understand how much you need the Bible, the more you can understand why Satan hates the Bible. And the more you can understand why he spends so much time dealing with folks that are saved, convincing them they can't trust the Bible. Hey, look, I've been guilty of a lot of things in my life, but I don't ever want to be guilty of that. I don't want to ever be guilty of the preacher that got you to doubt your Bible. You're God's children. We're God's children. Remember what he's talking about, offending one of the children? If God's given you a recipe for success and I try to take that away from you, woe is me. Woe unto me. I don't know. I don't like the fact that there's so much going on in the wrong direction in churches all over the world. And I don't like the fact that we're not right all the time or any of that either. But the gravity of where you put your faith demands preaching on it and against it, against not having faith in God's Word, and explaining the attack. I don't know about you. Now, I understand. I'm with you. Sometimes I look at me and I go, I can't believe you're saved. I can't believe you thought that. Can't believe you've done that. Can't believe your heart's there. You are wrong. You are guilty. You need to get right. But I was there when I got saved, so I know I'm saved. But you've got to admit, there, you've talked to some people that you were like, you were the last person in the world I ever believed was saved. You know why? They probably are. They probably are. They're probably saved. They don't have any faith in that book. They've never read it. They've constantly seen it attacked, and they doubt it. And they got saved believing exactly what they're supposed to believe, doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and they've lost their faith in God because people are telling them, you can't believe the book. You've got to go to a Greek scholar. You've got to go to a Hebrew scholar. You've got to go to seminary. You have to be behind a pulpit to understand anything in the Bible. You have to have somebody tell you what to believe. And people are so gullible now because the world is set up to tell you what to think. You know what God wants? He wants individuals that worship Him in unity. You know what the devil wants? He wants unity in people against God. He doesn't want you to be an individual. He wants you to think what the God of this world wants you to think. That's what the devil wants. I'm telling you, it's so much deeper than what we see in our understanding of conspiracies and all that. It's so much deeper than we can understand as human beings. Just like that Mandela effect, baloney. The devil wants you to believe nothing you ever thought was right. And then he can start picking away what you think now, what you believe now. I mean, you can't believe where Ed McMahon was handing out checks from. You can't believe what logo was on your garments. You can't believe anything. I mean, everything you thought was a lie, so let me tell you what you should believe instead. They're just picking away and picking away and picking away at your faith and your ability to understand and reason. And when you're not reading your Bible and you're not focused on the Lord and that stuff gets a hold of you, you'll start doubting everything. And And it's real easy for the devil to come in there and say,
are you even really saved? I mean, good night. You thought Ed McMahon worked for Publishers Clearinghouse. What's wrong with you? You say, well, that's silly. It might be sound silly.
But you're not looking at the long game. The long game is getting you to doubt everything you ever believed. And if you believe this book since you were 5, the devil wants to get you to quit believing. You believed it since 5 o'clock yesterday, he wants you to quit believing. But it's necessary for purification, God's Word. Well, I just got saved and I got the Holy Spirit in me. I don't need church. I don't need to read my Bible. I've got God in me. Well, give him a chance to get out of you. Amen? Some people he's buried so deep down in there, nobody know it. But when you read that book, you know what you're doing? You're giving him the door out where he can show other people through you about Jesus Christ. The conviction is not your job. Your job is to work, act on the conviction. Conviction is the job of the Holy Spirit by the words of God. Redemption is Jesus Christ. Justification is the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't get justified by our works. We're justified by His blood. I just read it. Romans 5:9. Being therefore justified by the good things that you do. No! You're justified by the Lamb of God's blood that had to be shed because of your bad things. Propitiation, that's Jesus Christ. Well, I'll just do more good things than I did bad. I'm trying to get these scales way into my favor. Well, I'm not even going to say good luck with that. That's foolishness. Security. Your security doesn't come by knowing you're good enough. Your security's come by knowing He's good enough. And He keeps His word. God is not a man that He should lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. It says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The security comes from Him. It's His. It's His salvation. It wasn't yours. You were outside of it, and He put you in it. Dead with Him in baptism, spiritually. Risen with Him to walk new life. Your sanctification, there's where you have a part in that. You're set apart for a purpose. Live the purpose. Amen? Don't get your purpose from Rick Warren, the purpose-driven life. Get your purpose from the Holy Spirit of God and the words of God. And from church. Amen? Purification, God's Word. Ultimately, the judgment seat of Christ. The thing is, everybody wants to be God. Even saved people, your flesh rises up against God and wants to be God. Amen? That's why, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed as such a beautiful thing. This is not going to rise up against the inner man anymore. We're going to lay this mess down and be like him. Oh, man. I don't know how many days a week I think, man, I just wish I was right. I'm just sick of being wrong. I'm tired of me. But you'll just be right forever. Isn't that something? And the only reason you can be right forever is because of His righteousness. Because of His blood. You're justified and redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's done His job. And there's nothing more that you need to do or can do for salvation. But there's a lot you can do because you're saved. That's your job, is to live right because you're saved, not to stay saved. You're not going to get any more saved, amen? You're just as saved as you were when you got saved, and you're just as saved you're going to be when He calls us out of here, no matter what you've done. But you have an opportunity to live for Him and glorify Him and show the world that He is worthy. That's your job. Don't get it confused with His job. Amen? And you know what? Accept the fact that you have free will and tell yourself no and live for Him. You had to make a decision when you became guilty before God. And if you're saved, praise the Lord, you made the right one. But that's not the only decision you have to make. You got to make a decision every day to live for Him. Amen? Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul said we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. That day's coming. But there won't be any opposition. You know you'll be in full agreement with that judgment. Your flesh won't be going, yeah, but if this would have been different, or that, if my mama would have bought me a pet hippopotamus when I was four, or if I would have had to, if I wouldn't have had to work so hard here, or if I wouldn't have had this out of the, there won't be any of that. You'll just be in perfect agreement before a perfect and righteous and holy God, watching a perfect purification process that must be for the bride to be ready. You ready? Get it under the blood and go forward, amen?